translation with a short purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Not conceit, this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, the gardener here. Not considering who asked for it and who did not, nor who was fit and who was unfit to receive it, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. Purport. This is the sum and substance of Lord Sri Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. There is no distinction made between those who are fit and those who are not fit to hear or take part in the Sankirtan movement. It should therefore be preached without discrimination. The only purpose of the preachers of the Sankirtan movement must be to go on preaching without restriction. That is the way in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the Sankirtan movement to the world. And the purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumlitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam rupakada mayam datati svapadandikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham karoti vachalam pangalam gayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande shi guru dinatarina. By the mercy of my spiritual master, a layman can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the skies. And by the mercy of my spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak eloquently. I offer my humble obeisances to the Lotus Feet, my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimati Tamala Krishna Vaswati Namani. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Ngauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunavadi Paskata Desatarine. We'll read the verse again. Not considering who asked for it and who did not, nor who was fit and who was unfit to receive it, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. So I believe somebody else was meant to give a class today, and the person couldn't make it. Rajarani? Okay, so something urgent came up. So, and then as a safety net, Mother Brajarani was asked to give a class. And so then what happened? Something urgent with you came up. and the rock fell on me that I just woke up this morning. I went to bed very late last night, and I said, okay, but no matter, it was about 2 o'clock, so I must go for Guru Puja, but I missed it. So I just came in to hear the class, and I was asked to preach. I don't even know what day it is today, what day of the week. I thought it was Bhagavatam class, and I didn't even knew it was Chaitanya Charitamrita. But anyway, right, so we will try. As I said, I'm just a cow, an old cow, trying. Let's see if I can give you some milk today. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very merciful mood. This is a very beautiful verse. I mean, it's one of my favorites because I go out every day trying to distribute the mercy, the same mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, without any discrimination. And he says here, he was not considering who was fit and who was unfit. That's the same mood of the Hare Krishna movement. They ask people like me to just at random give a class, considering that I'm not unfit, even though I'm not unfit to give class, but still the mood is that they want me to give class. So the mercy, it's something that has no cause. This kind of mood is called causeless mercy mood. That when we say that has no cause, means that doesn't have to have any reason for me to give out something to someone. If I start to say, oh, this person is not fit, so therefore he cannot receive it. And then I say, that person is qualified, is a little bit more intelligent, so therefore he deserves it. So that mood is called discriminative mood. And it's not liberal, and it's not the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he gave out causeless mercy and did not discriminate. As he states here, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami states very clearly that Mahaprabhu's mercy was without any boundary, unrestricted, abundant, and very unconditional. So I was reading in one of the old texts of the catechism of since I was brought up in a Catholic monastery, so that sometimes I do read things that which are very ancient texts from the Old Testament. The secret of the happiness, Jesus told one of his disciples, that the secret of the happiness is actually to give. To give people, because that is the nature of the soul. A spiritualist is naturally very wealthy, very rich. Jaya Shishirada Gokulananda Ki Jaya, Sitaram Lakshmanan Ki Jaya, Gornitai Ki Jaya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The nature of the soul, being very happy and being wealthy, as we know, is a Satchitananda Vigraha. It's a beautiful form made out of happiness and full of knowledge. And what is the greatest wealth? The greatest wealth and the most beautiful thing in the world, it is said, according to the Puranas, it's a knowledge. When you give this knowledge or give this the treasure of your soul to someone, that is considered to be the greatest gift of wealth. Wealth is actually not money. The real wealth is not money or properties or opulence, but it's actually knowledge. Wealth and beauty is knowledge. And beauty is not just the cosmetic that you apply on your body or the bodily, because everything that is created in this world is doomed to perish. Everything is meant to be destroyed. Nothing is meant to last forever, materially. But knowledge is an eternal principle. It's from the soul. So when we give, then we are feeling happy. Just like a cow, when she gives milk, then she's very happy because the milk bag will not clot up. It will not, you know, then the milk generates more, right? But if the cow doesn't give any milk, then the milk bag will dry up. So a miserly person, when he doesn't give, then his knowledge within his heart, it will dry up. So the nature of the soul is to give, whereas the nature of the mind is to take. You can see the difference between the two. Spiritually, the great sages, they're always saintly persons. They come in this world for one purpose, to give. To give what? Now, amongst all the different types of knowledge that we assimilate in this world, there is one particular item which is priceless, which is considered to be the greatest treasure. And this is the holy name of Krishna, the holy name of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Which is above any other gift that you can possibly imagine. And this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is actually described here, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving it out without discrimination, abundantly. And more he gives that out, and more he feels mad of happiness. Because just like Ahambija Pradapita, Lord Chaitanya is the seed-giving father of all the living entities. Just like a father has two children, one is good, one is naughty, one is good, one is a criminal, another one is a policeman. But when they both go and see the father, he likes to feed them equally. He likes to hug them equally. So this is the God consciousness. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it doesn't say you are a bad man or you are a good man. So therefore, the good ones, they receive my mercy, and the bad one, they don't. But he gives that out to everybody. Similarly, when we go out preaching, actually the bad people, they deserve it more. You may find, you know, that the father sometimes is a slightly a little bit more partial to the bad son. Why? Because he knows that he needs some special mercy to change. And the good son doesn't get envious about it. Sometimes, you know, you find Srila Prabhupada used to give out prasadam. And a very hungry person, he will go again and will take, you know, cookies and more things, you know, from Prabhupada's hands. There was one pastimes in the servant of the servant. There was one man, a tramp, who came to the temple. And Srila Prabhupada, after giving a talk, after giving class, he would give out the cookies. Everyone is in need of something. Children, you can see, they want some milk or they want to be cuddled. Could you keep the door closed? They say, thanks. So, Srila Prabhupada would very kindly and mercifully adopt the same mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After class, he would give out cookies. And there was a tramp who he took, you know, two cookies and he ate them quickly, and then he came back again to Prabhupada, and then he ate them and he came back again, and I think one of his Daneshwar, who was Rameshwar, he said, Prabhupada, this man, you already had your mercy. No, you get back. You already. Prabhupada said, no, don't worry. If he asks for it, it means that he needs more than anyone else. He's hungry. Let him have it. This is a mood of God. So when you see that there is some dry land, it will absorb more water than the wet land. Devotees, they are already wet by the mercy of the Lord. So we don't mind if the Lord gives a special mercy to those who need it more. This is the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is the mood that is being carried by his devotees, Srila Prabhupada, and all the followers of Srila Prabhupada. There is a great joy by distributing the wealth of the soul, because whatever is given to us, the only way that we can be grateful and reciprocate with the Lord, what is the best way? Does anybody know? I'll let your imagination work out this one. What is the best way to thank the Lord for what He's given us? Yes, to give it out, share it. This is actually, that's what the Lord He wants us to do. If you don't share it, then you are a kripana, you're a miser. And believe it or not, there was a very philanthropist, scientist. Recently, I was reading one of his articles. And he gives a lot in charity for the environment, for the children in need. But he said something very interesting. He said that and he was actually a godly scientist, you know, someone who, a God-fearing person. I forgot the name now, but American. And he said that if all the wealth in the world, you know, there are many capitalists and many wealthy people, wherever they receive from the providence, if they just share 20%, just 20% of their wealth, then there will be no poverty in the world. That made a lot of sense, because 20%, let's say, of a billionaire, you know, it's quite a good chunk. And there are so many wealthy people, he did a statistics, that if each one of them gives 20% of their wealth, now we are only talking about very wealthy people, billionaire, not even a millionaire, billionaire. 20%, I don't think they become poor, isn't it? I mean, any one of us, if we depart ourselves from our wealth, only 20%, I don't think we will crash economically. Isn't it? 20% is not, you can make it back, you know, on interest. I mean, you know, on investments or whatever, savings or whatever it is. So therefore, sharing is actually that solves the problems in the world. Then there will be no more famine, no scarcity of food. There will be no more disease. You know, all those horrible diseases that you get in impoverished countries. There will be disease, but they will be under the control. There will be no more struggle for the mass of the people in general. I mean, this is, we're just talking about material needs. Because there is a say that God has created so much abundant for everybody. There is abundance of vegetables, grains, water, anything that we need is there in abundance. He has provided for the entire human society 10 times more than what we need. If there is a poverty, that means, you know, that there is injustice in the world. It means that food is not distributed properly. There are people who are very greedy and very selfish, and therefore there is a say that there is enough for everybody's needs, but there is not enough for everybody's greed. This is a very old saying. Therefore, if we everyone adopt spiritually and materially the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there will be no more scarcity of material necessity in the world. And also spiritually, the world will gain great benefit with the holy name of Krishna. The fruits that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about here are the holy names of the Lord, which is the pinnacle, the highest pinnacle of wealth, any types of wealth. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it gives the deliverance from the suffering of this material world, namely birth, old age, disease, and death. So, if we could every day adopt a little bit of this mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he likes it very much. God is not just happy that when you come to the temple and you have a darshan of him, it's nice to have a darshan. Maybe you put some coins in the box, you take a little bit of prasad, you hear some pravachan, but then what? What's next? You take prasad with devotee, you associate with devotee, or even you can go to the holy dham. If you can practice yoga, you do some meditation, and then you can tell your friends, "Oh, I'm a vegetarian." Great, it's a great achievement. But what is next? What is actually the most important thing that the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement? It's actually to preach. It's good that we become devoted. We give our lives to God. But for what? For what? To actually help the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Help Srila Prabhupada in doing what he started. To get out every day, tell someone about Krishna. Give them a book about Krishna. Or chant the holy name to someone. And that's the greatest gift, that's the greatest service that you're doing to yourself. To yourself, to the society, and the greatest service to God. Because there are so many varieties of service in this movement, in any religions. Administration, you get, you know, the service of you know, printing posters or whatever, service of serving prasad, the service of cleaning the temple, deity worship, the service of doing weddings. But there is one particular service, mission, which is to give God consciousness to someone who is in a dormant state. To wake up someone and say, "Hey, there is a life. Look, the sunshine is up. Get up and leave." That's all. We ask people, materialist people, to wake up and start to live their lives. We are the greatest teachers for them. What is the greatest teaching for a materialist, that you could give it to a materialist person, is that you teach them how to enjoy properly. Now, we have this forbidden principle that you're not supposed to enjoy the material life. It's Maya. But actually, why not? Teach them how to enjoy prayer. Teach them how to regulate their eating, their sleeping, their meeting and defending. Teach them how to live instead of eating sinful food. Teach them how to eat properly, purified food. Instead of hearing mundane songs, teach them how to enjoy and hearing songs, devotional songs, that they are very beneficial for the soul. teach them not to worship the opposite sex with so many gifts, with so many things, but to worship God, the transcendental cause of our existence. You teach them how to enjoy. This is, Srila Prabhupada told Tamalakrishna Maharaj once. He said, the duty of a guru is to teach the disciple how to enjoy. Anyone who preaches to you is actually teaching you how to enjoy properly in your life. Because, you know, a preacher, it's not someone that goes around and gives people hell. And tells, you know, he gives them the, rather than enjoyment, he gives them hell. That's not a fact. But those who increase your sense of gratification, those are very, they're demoniac people. Namely, like a TV, the press, you know, all the advertising. They increase your material desires. Every day, they give you some poison, saying, "You see, material energy, after all, is very entertaining. So why don't you try it out? A new product comes up, people." They spend so much money to advertise it and to indulge people in that thing. But all these things are poison. They've got nothing to do with the soul. But if someone comes to you and say, "Why don't you try this? Try to nourish yourself, your very self, the soul, by chanting the names of God, by tasting God's prasadam. And then you can see how you feel." That's when enjoyment starts. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in this mood, and he was in ecstasy. Because that is the only business of God. Eternally, he's doing one thing only. Only one thing, Bhakti Vatsala. He's giving pleasure to his devotees. He never serves himself. There is selfishness is a principle which is conspicuous by his absence into the consciousness of Krishna, God. He's not selfish. There are areas that even God himself, he doesn't know. Namely, ignorance, is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the back of God. Just like you can never look at your back. You may see it in the mirror, but you can never, because you know your face is on the front. But you can see your hands, you can see your feet, you can see your, but you can never see your back. Can you? If you can see your back, please raise your hands. You can never. You don't know if you have a birthmark on your back. You don't know that. Okay, you have a faith that somebody told you got a birthmark, but you've never seen it. So ignorance is actually the back of God, and it's the Virat Rupa, described in the description of the Virat Rupa. So similarly, selfishness is not to be found in God. Pride, illusion, even though are all items that he creates, but he doesn't know them. So you could say that Krishna is ignorant about few things. That's true. He's ignorant about envy. He's non-envious. He's ignorant about selfishness, pride, madness, material madness, illusion. All the things that we fall in the trap, God, he has no idea what are these things, even though he creates them. So that's God. But therefore, it's all goodness. Vishuddha Sattva, Vasudev, Krishna, he's actually, it's all good in every aspect. God is perfect in everything. And his mood, it's always to give eternally. He has always given in the past. He's right now at this moment giving to all of you. To me, to all of you. But we don't feel it. When you feel happy, it is giving you life in the form of breathing. When you feel happy in your brain or in your consciousness or in your soul, that's Krishna is giving to you. Always remember. When you feel love towards your girlfriend or towards your wife, that's Krishna giving to you. When you feel some affection towards the devotees, that's Krishna. If you feel to give something to someone, it's because Krishna gave it to you for you to pass it on. Is giving so much to materialistic people, why he wouldn't give it to his devotees? So this is the greatness of God. That's why, without any discrimination, distributing the fruits, no matter who is fit, who is not fit, he's wonderful. This is the God that everybody likes. Because if you start to say, oh, you are a Muslim, I cannot give you the mercy. Or you are a Christian, I cannot. Or you are a Hindu. God doesn't think like that. He knows that this soul is part and parcel of me. I've created him for my pleasure. Isn't it? He's my eternal servant. And once we wake up and start to serve God with all our hearts, that's when God becomes our servant. That's when God becomes Bhakti-vatsala. More we advance spiritually, and more he becomes the servant of his devotees. Isn't it? Many times you see instances, he came, he washed the feet of Brahmana Sudama. He's already proved. He comes as a tortoise to serve the demons and the demigods, and he takes the lowest position in the ocean to get the burden of the mountains on his shoulder. And for two purposes. One was because he wanted to have his back scratched by the mountain. And the second purpose, because he was feeling great joy serving the demons and the devotees, because he knows both of them, they are my children. He comes as Vamanadev, the greatest brahmachari, and he becomes a what? A gatekeeper. Did he give a liberation to Bali Maharaj and say, okay, now you are qualified to become my gatekeeper because I am God, so you should guard my gate? No. You become the Lord, I become your servant. That's Krishna. You become the Lord. But not just for a few days, for a month or 2 months. It's for one manvantara. Do you know how many years is that? Thousands and thousands of years. That Vamanadev becomes the gatekeeper of Bali Maharaj. He comes and he serves the Pandavas. Becomes the charioteer of Arjuna. Usually when I do Sankirtan and I try to give books to people, I can tell who is the master and who is the servant by who is sitting on the back of the car and who is driving. And then you can tell the driver must be the chauffeur. The master must be the one enjoying on the back. Take me here, take me there. And that's what Arjuna was doing. The Lord became his driver. And Arjuna was saying, take me here, take me there. Giving orders to Krishna. And Krishna with great joy, he was serving him. Not that, you know, I am God. You see what I'm doing for you? So I want to see, what are you going to do for me later? With great pleasure. There is this transcendental competition between God and the devotee. God is always thinking. He's always got his devotee in his heart and thinking how to serve them. And more they advance, and more God, you know, he reveals himself in mysterious way. Let me serve him. Let me do something for him. That's how Srila Prabhupada was served by Krishna at every second. Prabhupada knew about that. He knew that Krishna is supplying me so much, so let me give it back to him. That's how the devotees becomes very, very grateful towards the Lord. He sees that the Lord, the only business he has is to serve his devotee, to make his devotee happy. It's the business that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, he came all the way from the spiritual world to give out, to serve out all these fruits. And this is going on eternally. In our heart, we may not see it. It's going on in the spiritual world. Krishna is always giving pleasure to the gopis, giving pleasure to his devotees. That is God. So we stop here and we'll ask if there is any questions.